Last year, the prediction was made that the rapture would begin the 1st of September, 1988. When it did not occur, at least one man who had written a book, or really two books combined in one that sold so many copies, said that he had made a one-year mistake in his calculation and that the rapture would begin the 1st of September, 1989. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but that prediction, as far as the date's concerned, was not true because the 1st of September has passed. There appeared an article in yesterday's Nashville, Tennessean, in which this man said that he wasn't going to predict the date anymore, that he realized that God could do what he wanted to, and I'm really glad he came to that revelation. But next Sunday, I want to talk about the rapture, both Sunday morning and Sunday evening. A few weeks after I moved here in 1987, I was asked to come back to Winchester, about 17 miles from Tullahoma, in a lectureship series, and my subject that was assigned, "Will the Church of Christ be raptured?" And I answered that question, yes, no, and maybe. And I'd like to share with you that information next Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And let me ask those of you that are students to pass the word. I believe this is a subject that we need to look at. And I hope as many of you as can will be here at one of the morning services and the evening service next Sunday as we talk about, will the church be raptured? Yes, no, and maybe. And now, for the rest of the story. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Today, I met a woman carrying a small baby, and that baby had a bottle that it was taking. I didn't think too much about that. In fact, as I've looked around the audience tonight, I've seen some babies in the audience tonight that were taking a bottle. That didn't disturb me very much. But a few days ago, there was in our local paper, and I can't remember whether it's Dear Abby or Ann Landers that we have in this one, but one of those sisters, and they are sisters, by the way, in the flesh, had a question that was asked and an answer that had to deal with something that was quite unusual. This woman had written in and said, "My husband wants me to fix him a bottle of milk each night when he goes to bed so he can take it." And I don't remember all the other sentences, but she said, "What do you think about this?" Now, I'm not going to take the time tonight to tell you what I think about that. What's the difference? I suppose that the bottle of milk would look about the same in either case as far as the bottle of milk is concerned. The difference is that there is a difference in being a child and being a man. When I was a child is what we discussed this morning. And I want to review with you for just a moment the points that we made because we need to keep these in mind as we draw the contrast this evening. A child is a child and is to be expected to act like a child. God does not expect a child to act like a man. And therefore, he's made provisions for the protection of that child and the care of that child. We should not expect a child to act like an adult until that child has gone through the process of growing into adulthood. And therefore, realizing those three things, we need to accept the great responsibility that God has placed upon us as parents to give leadership and guidance and protection and provisions to our boys and girls. But now tonight, we're looking at the other side of it. Paul said, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." I think all of us understand, but let me be sure that we do, that Paul is using the word man here in the general sense. Of course, in talking about himself, it would apply in a specific sense. But the word man or the word men is used in the Bible to refer to human beings, not to refer to the male of the species, but to the human race in general. And the principle in this passage is used in that sense. Paul was saying, "When I became an adult human being, when I became a man, I put away childish things." Let's think about that for just a few minutes tonight in a rather simple lesson in which we're just going to look at a few passages of Scripture. The first being Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. When Paul says that I became a man, he's indicating in that there is the process of growth. And that's exactly what's being talked about in the book of Hebrews at chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And though he's using terms that have to do with physical growth, he has in mind spiritual growth. He says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Notice that he indicates that there is the development of the senses. Now, in the physical realm, that would be referring to the taste and to the feeling and the hearing and the seeing and the other senses that are involved. And he's making that principle in a spiritual way here. Notice he says that reason of time is involved. Those who by reason of time have gone through the childhood years, the development within those years, when time passes and one gets older, he ought to be able to get away from the milk stage and be able to get into the meat stage as far as the acceptance and the use of food is concerned. There is a process of growth that takes place. There is also the reason of use. And that's another way of saying experience. We learn a lot of our lessons by experience. You and I talk about that. We learn lessons by bad experiences and learn not to do that again. We learn lessons by good experiences and incorporate that into life itself and decide that that is the way to do something, that is the way to approach a decision that must be made in this particular set of circumstances. So he says there is to be a process of growth that takes place. We become concerned when one who appears to be an adult acts like a child. We become concerned if one begins to roll up into that fetal position when he's supposed to be an adult standing on his feet. We begin to be concerned, like we were about the man that I related to you a moment ago, who wants to continue to act like a child and to speak like a child. Some have suggested that this passage here in Hebrews 5, 12, 14 might be summed up by saying, "Give him a bottle." Have you ever said that to one of your children who should be a little bit older and he begins to act like a baby, and you say, "Well, give him a bottle," in a way of sort of irony, I suppose, or making fun of him, trying to get him to think about what's taking place? The Bible teaches us that there is to be a process of growth. And we need to be concerned if one does not develop physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, or spiritually. You might just be reminded of the ways that Jesus grew in Luke 2:52 that would generally cover all of those things that we have just mentioned. The senses can also be exercised by observing. There are some things that we may not necessarily experience ourselves, but we observe what's taking place. I appreciated the introduction that Brother Alan Hires gave to the college class that met in here in this auditorium this morning as he was talking about some of the serious moral problems that exist in the world today. He introduced the class by saying to the students that were present this morning, "I realize that many of you may not experience some of these problems yourselves, but you know people who do, and you're dealing with people who do. And therefore, we need to understand what God's Word has to say about them." And I believe that that's something we need to emphasize and would emphasize to all of you that are young folks tonight. There are some things, there are some areas of sin in life and some areas of immorality that I hope none of us ever experience. If we do, in a moment's weakness, experience some of those problems, we need to overcome them with the help of each other, and especially with the help and the forgiveness of God. But we can grow in this process by observing, as well as by experiences of life. And all of this is a part of that process of growth. Now, this process of growth can be better understood when we go back and look at the three concepts that are presented in this contrast in 1 Corinthians 13:11. What's he talking about here as he contrasts being a child and being an adult? I spake, I understood, and I thought. Spake, understood, and thought. I suggested to you this morning that I believe that there is a progression here in reverse order. And so let's turn them around and think of them in the reverse order tonight as we think about this process of man's development, or a person's development from the childhood stage into the adult stage, when I was a child and when I became a man. When I was a child, I thought as a child. And as we consider this, I want you to look at Proverbs 23:7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's where we must start, folks, if we're going to grow up. Before we can deal with these other two concepts here that are built on this one, we've got to get back here and start with the thought process. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18 that the things that defile a man are the things that come out of the mouth, and these are the things that come forth from the heart. Not that which goes into the man is that which really defiles him, but that which comes out of the heart is that which defiles him. We must get the heart right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We must get ourselves, as we grow into the adult years, to begin to think like adults and not to think like children. We need to put some time to the process that's involved that Jesus calls reasoning in the heart. And reasoning is sort of the idea of considering these thoughts, having more than one thought. And we need to have more than one thought. And then reason about these and begin to put the things together so that there can be the development of knowledge. There can be the intellectual development. That's one of the reasons that we're concerned about our young folks going to college and getting a better education, that there can be the understanding of the facts and how to use those facts. That's the intellectual involvements that's there. And when you go into a class and the professor continues to drill those facts about whatever the subject is, he's trying to help you to grow up to where you'll have a better understanding of that. That's the growth as far as the thinking process is concerned. And along with that knowledge, we need to develop some common sense. A little child has not had the experience. He's not been given the facts. He doesn't have the knowledge about the subject that an adult ought to have after years of experience and years of use and observation about whatever the subject is. So when Paul says, I became a man, he says, I developed as far as the thinking process is concerned. And I want to encourage all of us to do more thinking on our own. I'm convinced that one of the reasons our faith is sometimes weak is because we've not started with our own thinking and developing our own thought process, even relative to God and to Christ, the Son of God. And many times the mistakes that we make, as we admit so often, are because we did not think about it. Somebody says, oh, if I had just thought, I would not have done that. How many times have all of us said something of that nature? When I was a child, I was not expected to think like an adult. But as I grow out of those childhood years, I'm expected to think and to use my mind. That's what God gave it to me for. That's what God gave you your mind for, is to think. And I've read somewhere where it's suggested that some of us never use more than 2 or 3% of our minds, our brains, our abilities. We need to grow up. We need to use the thinking process. Then he says in the second place that we need to grow up as far as understanding. When I was a child, I understood as a child. Now that I've become a man, Paul was saying, I need to understand as a man understands. Do you not understand some things today that you did not understand when you were a child? I believe I do. I hope I understand people a little bit better now than I did when I was a child. I hope I can understand why some things happen. There are many things yet I don't understand. Only God understands in some of these areas. But I believe that as an adult, there are some things that I understand and therefore have been able to develop a basic philosophy of life and attitude toward life that I did not understand and have when I was a child. That's what he's talking about here. And I want you to notice another passage in 1 Corinthians on this point. One chapter later, after the text that we're using tonight in the 13th chapter, in the 14th chapter at verse 20, he says, Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. Now, letting the Bible be a commentary on itself, just back up to verse 19 and look at what he's talking about. He's talking about specifically the use of the spiritual gifts, but he's talking about understanding. He says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He's talking about understanding, making it clear. And one of the reasons sometimes we're not able to make things clear to others is we don't have it clear in our own mind. We need to be able to develop in our own thinking why we believe in God, why we believe Jesus Christ is His Son, why we believe that heaven is real, why we believe that this book is the book of authority and that we're to go by it. In fact, 1 Peter 3:15 says we ought to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us. A child may not be able to do that. Oh, we're so thankful and we're a bit proud sometimes of our children who are able to tell us so much about the Bible. And I think it's wonderful when parents especially train their little boys and girls when they're so small to know so many of those facts, to give them some pegs to hang the ideas on as they grow up. But as we come to the adult position in life and we begin to be more than just children, we need to develop that attitude. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And I, for one, believe that when you're old enough to leave home and go to college, that you ought to be old enough to begin to be in this area of an adult type of understanding. None of us has reached the ultimate on that. But it's at least reasonable to believe that by the time we get into our last few years of the teenage years and into those earlier years of the 20s, that we ought to be getting to a point in life to where we can develop our own understanding, we can get the facts together, and we can learn to decide between good and evil, and have our understanding fixed so that we know what's right and we know what's wrong, we know what's light and we know what's darkness, we know what's sweet and we know what's bitter. We need to grow up and have our understanding enlightened, where we have the ability to decide between good and evil. And that's suggested there in that passage that we read in Hebrews 5:14, learning to discern between good and evil. Think like a man, understand like a man, and then you'll be able to speak like a man. And this speaking here perhaps includes more than just the words that come forth from the mouth. You know, we speak by our actions also. We even read where Abel, being dead, yet spoke. His influence was continuing to speak. And so if you look at this entirety here of our words and our deeds as being included in this word, Paul is saying, when I was a child, I acted like a child, but now that I've become a man, I've put away childish things and I'm beginning to act like a man. What's involved in that? It's also mentioned in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians at verse 13. In a list of some five outstanding duties of a Christian or ways that a Christian will live, he says in the King James Version, quit ye like men. Another version translates that, behave yourselves like men. He's talking about behavior. He's talking about actions. When I became a man, I began to behave like a man, is what he is saying. I believe there's another indication in Ephesians, the 4th chapter at verse 14, that will help us to see what he's talking about. He's talking about the church here, But he uses this childlike approach in a comparison here in verse 14 of Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children. What's he saying? That we begin to act like men. How does a child act? Oh, he's tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He's easily persuaded, as we said this morning. And that can be for good or it can be for the opposite. But he says now that we're going to grow up and do our part in the work of the church. In verse 16, here's where he says, every joint supplying according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to learn to act like men. And that means we've got to put away childish things, not childlike characteristics that are good, that need to be carried with us the rest of our lives, like holding no malice and grudges. That one's particularly mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14:20 there. But putting away these childish actions and words. A child will say something so quickly without even thinking it through. As adults, we need to be careful about that. A child has a tendency to be impulsive and rush into something. As adults, we need to slow down and weigh matters and proceed with care in the realm of God's Word and by His authority. A child acts like a child, a man acts like a man. One area here that I want to especially emphasize tonight, especially for our younger adults, is that learning to act like a man is learning to stand on your own two feet and make decisions and make them in the right way. Now, I would not be misunderstood. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23, which means that we need God's help. And there is a certain sense in which we need to deny self and submit ourselves to God and to the guidance of His Word in our decisions. But having said that, then within that concept, it's high time that we learn to stand up for what we believe is right and not be ashamed to stand up as a man. Back when we were in war times, and even today, as people go into the military, there is an age cut off. Person had to be a certain age before he could go off and defend his country. Why? Even the government understood that somebody needed to be where he could take a stand and stand on his own two feet, know what he believed, and stand for that which he believed. That's being a man. That's making decisions. We always need to have open minds, realizing that we can always learn. We always need to be willing to depend on others for help and strength. But when it comes right down to it, as we grow up, we need to learn to accept responsibility. I can remember a time when I did nothing without my dad or mother guiding me in that. I can remember back to some of the earlier years of life. And I made very few decisions for myself at that time. And yet, you know, now there are times that I go for an entire week and never talk to my dad or mother. I try to not let it go any longer than that. But I don't call my dad to ask him for decisions. Now turning it in the other direction, I'm the father and have four adult children. Deep down, I really think they still ought to call me and ask my advice on a lot of things. But they've gotten to where they don't. And they're making some decisions, and I suppose they'll make some that are not what I think they ought to make. But they're grown up now. They're going to have to stand on their own two feet. I hope they never get to the point that they are not concerned about using me if I can help. I hope I never get to the point that I'm not concerned about using my dad. I still think my dad is a wise man. And there are times that I still ask his advice on something. But basically, I don't go back to him like I did when I was a child, because I'm a man now. And I must take a stand on my own, and I must live my life. Having grown up from that childhood state to where now I have the ability to think as a man, to understand as a man, and to speak and act as a man. That's the growth process. I believe that's what he's talking about here. That we need to be strong enough to put forth the personal effort and to take the personal responsibility to stand for what is right and not be ashamed to stand for it as men, as grown-up people, whether that be in business, in the community, or especially in the work of the church. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I challenge those of us that are growing out of the childhood years and have grown out of the childhood years to be sure that we use the thought process and think things through, get the facts and develop the knowledge and use some good common sense. That we come to an understanding on whatever the subject is to where we have the right attitude toward it and we develop a philosophy of life toward it. And then that we act with our words and with our deeds as men and not as children in everything that we do. And by doing that, we can take our stand on the front for the Lord against evil. But if we act like children, when we should be acting like men, we'll have problems. Let's grow up. Let's keep those childlike characteristics that are also Christ-like characteristics. But let's lay aside those childish ways and those childish thoughts and those childish deeds, and let's act like men, Christian men and women in our lives day by day. I believe that's what Paul had in mind. When I was a child, I was like a child, but now that I've become a man, I've put away childish things. And one of the things that ought to be involved as we grow up is taking our stand in the family of God. If we grow up to where we're able to use that thought process and consider His Word and know what He wants us to do, and we're able to come to that understanding, and we believe that, then we ought to be able to act upon that. I sometimes hear people say, you know, I just don't feel like I'm strong enough to respond to the invitation. I just can't do it. Let me tell you something. If you grow out of that childhood state and grow into the adult attitude and take your stand for the Lord, you can find the strength to do anything that you need with the Lord's help. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to develop that kind of attitude, and you need to take that stand. If you're here and you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, think it through, understand it, but when you understand it, act on it. Don't put it off any longer. If you have sinned in a way that needs to be repented of publicly, think about it. Come to an understanding of what your need is, and then act on it. Quit being a child and act like a man in your service to the Lord, is what we're saying. If you need to come to Christ, take your stand with Him and come right now as together we stand and sing.